On the Moving Icon, host Chris Vlahonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
Anastasia Pahos is one of the most exciting and dynamic composers in Australia. Her music instills visual imagery inspired by spiritual contemplation. She is now busy rehearsing for her upcoming concert next month in Melbourne, but she managed to take some time out to join us. To kick off, can you tell us a little bit about your musical journey?
Well, music has always been a part of my life. Even from before I started school, my wonderful parents enrolled me in music appreciation classes. So from a really young age, I had an understanding of beat and rhythm and how to read music, and really enjoyed all of that. And then when school started, I joined various choirs, and such as the, if my memory serves me correctly, I think that was the Australian Youth Choir, and of course various school choirs as well. And then year two, I started learning piano, and then year three was recorder, and then year four was flute, and piano and flute continued. And then in high school, or later in high school, I undertook professional lessons in classical singing. But in terms of composition, I was always writing like snippets of music, but it probably only became very serious in high school even from year seven, when part of the music subject, there was a compulsory component dedicated to composition, and I really excelled at that. And then by the time it came to sort of mid-high school, when I had to choose music as an elective, it was a no-brainer. It was just, I enjoyed it so much and I was so good at it. And so that, but by the end of high school, it became very apparent to me that music was not only my passion, but my calling in life.
And what role did your faith play in your music during this time?
In terms of how my musical journey sort of developed, and in high school, it was very... Oh, this is not going to make any sense. It was very music-based. Like, my faith didn't really come into it until... It started to come into it in year 12, and then at the university, I went to the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, and majoring in composition, and my faith was not a massive feature in my first couple of years, and then life happens, and then in the last 2 years of university, it just became so clear that, you know, my faith was the only reason why I wanted to write music. I mean, that's the only reason I would write music. And then as that developed and that continued, and my faith developed further, and as did my music. I'm trying to think of exactly what I want to say. I guess that's the journey. It sort of, elements of faith, and then no faith in music, and then complete faith in music. And that sort of cemented my reasoning for dedicating myself to music, because it just felt like it could just continue and keep continuing without a sort of creative end. Because the faith is never ending, and I decided to dedicate myself to writing sacred music because it just was the most fulfilling use and of my talent.
How would you describe your musical style?
Look, I'm going to go with sacred music. And I love that phrase so much because it doesn't put boundaries on what my music can sound like. Because, you know, sacred music doesn't have to be, you know, tranquil all the time, although it often is. And there's also an element to sacred music that's ecstatic. And yeah, I mean, I guess, and it also, having sacred music as my musical style doesn't limit what I write in terms of cultural boundaries. Like, if I go in more into that, the vast majority of my music is inspired by or infused with Christian orthodoxy, my faith, and it also has elements of my Eastern European musical heritage. And those two elements, the Orthodox and the Eastern European musical elements, come together I think I've said this in a very roundabout fashion. So yes, there's the Orthodox elements, the Eastern European musical elements, and also the Western elements, because obviously I've studied in Australia, and so my compositions are very much grounded in Western harmonic practice. And yeah, so my pieces that do sound very Western are given a definite unique edge with both the Christian Orthodox and the Eastern European elements as well. And that's, it's served me well so far, because it's not the sort of sound world that's commonly heard in the current Western musical landscapes, as well as the past ones.
You've used the term sacred music. How is this different to liturgical music?
No, saying my music is sacred. No, sacred music. That's often defined very broadly these days. But I think my understanding of sacred music is music that's related to, connected with, or centered on the numinous. And it's used by the composer as a means for religious devotion. It's dedicated to a religious purpose, or it serves to express a personal religious experience, usually within a wider tradition, religious tradition of some sort. And that's regardless of whether sacred or secular text is used. And this is different to specifically defined liturgical music that has a particular function in a traditionally religious environment, like a church, and it uses religious text like prayer or biblical texts or chant. And a really important aspect of sacred music, I think, is the composer's intent must be that of an expression of divine connection and or experience, or their yearning for this experience.
What kind of themes and images do you try to communicate in your sacred music style?
Themes and images. It changes with each piece. I don't tend to stick to one theme or one image. I mean, I usually try to have, as I've said, you know, a sacred background to whatever I write. Whether it's obvious or not is a different story. But that could be from something as concrete as incense, for example, or a church. But you know, it could also be something quite abstract, like the development of true agape or pure love, or concepts of prayer and what that can, and the changes that come inside a person. I'm definitely inspired by the Australian natural landscape, but I'm not sure if that comes across in my music. It probably doesn't. You probably just have to read about it, and then you're like, oh, so that's why it's like that. But musical style, sacred, you know, then Christian Orthodox elements, Eastern European and Western elements. My music has been described as being like this, but I certainly hope it's true, that it's quite intimate, like with people who listen to it. I think it touches people in a way that a lot of modern music doesn't, if I can say that. I don't know. And there's almost a painful sort of beauty in my music as well. But yeah, as I've said earlier, some pieces are slow and meditative, contemplative, and others are very, very fast and lively and great. they're very happy pieces. I'm smiling, as you probably can hear, hearing a smile.
Who would you say serves as your greatest inspiration?
Well, my faith is my greatest inspiration. I don't idolize any person in particular on earth. but in terms of like composers that I'm influenced by, if that's what you mean, people like Arvo Pärt, John Chaloner, Rachmaninoff as well. I love Rachmaninoff. There's a really quite a big list, and even there are even quite a few upcoming modern composers in the sacred music realm. But probably Arvo Pärt and John Chaloner are my biggest inspirations, my greatest inspirations. I'm a really big fan of Ross Edwards as well. You know, Australian pride there.
What is it about these composers that inspire you? Do you try to incorporate elements of their work into your own music?
With composers like Arvo Pärt and John Chaloner, there's like Sofia Gubaidulina and Gretzky and Messier, there's like a big list. What inspires me about them is that they incorporate their faith, really, and that they do it so beautifully and effectively and movingly. That's what inspires me about them. And in terms of Ross Edwards and Rachmaninoff too, I'm a big fan of just their musical styles. Like with Ross Edwards, his pieces have just got this fantastic energy in them, and some of them are so enlivening. And that's probably what inspires me about those composers, and incorporating elements of their work. I usually try not to, I usually prefer to incorporate elements of chant, for instance, like Byzantine chant or other specifically Orthodox musical elements. But that said, there are times when it can be really effective, and I have decided to use quotations of the music of these composers.
It's great to see there's a large body of Orthodox inspired work out there, and that you, being the next generation, is contributing towards that. What has been your most recent piece of work?
My latest piece is for symphony orchestra, and it's called Troparion, and it was performed exactly a month ago, I think. That was incredible. And it's about, I think the best way for me to say what it's about is to read you the fragment of poetry that really embodies what it's all about. And this poetry is from a book called Christ the Eternal Tao. Oh, I've said that wrong, probably. T-A-O is the last word. And that's written by, or put together by, Hieromark Damascene. And that's all about examining the relationship between particular ideas of Lao Tzu and the words of Christ. And so with the poetry I'm about to read, each movement in Troparion embodies segments of the poetry fragment depicted below. Depicted below. I'm reading it. here we go. So I'll just read the poem. Beneath the brittle surface, the vain, self-interested, clinging love the maddening longing, which only obscures what lies below, there is a silently flowing river, a river of compassion, bowels of mercy, a feeling of the other's pain, flowing into a vast, vast ocean of sorrow. It is the sorrow of a great funeral, the death of sensual self-love. Although it is a sorrow, one enters it willingly, with joy, for there is such tenderness in its pain. And at last, in this sorrow, there is perfect freedom. That's conceptually what it's about. Musically, it's inspired by two modal settings of a Troparion, a short hymn, dedicated to the Virgin Mary. The hymn is Axionistin, or in English, It Is Truly Meet.
That sounds incredibly uplifting. But where do you hope to take your music in the future?
So far, writing for the concert setting has served me and continues to serve me really well. There are lots of things lined up for the future I'm really excited about, and which you can find out about on my website, which I'll talk about later. Definitely continuing to write for the concert setting. And in the past, I've written for student films, and I'm very much hoping to continue writing for film and the media, whether it's dabbling a little in TV advertisements. But yeah, I'd be very keen to develop more relationships with filmmakers. The concert setting is, it hasn't ever been a negative experience for me. And also in the future, I'm developing more of my conducting style as well, particularly focusing on children's choirs. In my experience with that, it's just been so rewarding. Working on new styles. I much prefer the classical composition realm as opposed to the electroacoustic sound world, and at this stage, I'm not planning on, bridging the gap at all, but, I think the sort of music I write doesn't really need revamping in terms of its musical style because, it changes with each sacred concept.
You'll be travelling to Melbourne in early November for a performance. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes, I am so excited about going to Melbourne. I've never been before. I've been to a few places. I've been very blessed in that way, but yeah, not Melbourne. And I've written a work called Elixir, and that's for chamber orchestra, or a smaller orchestra as compared to a symphony orchestra. And the concept behind that one is inspired again by Hieromonk Damascene, and the concept is, our thoughts are not ourselves, we are immortal spirits, and it's a very fast, dance-like sort of piece. Maybe the concept needs a bit more explaining, and I think the best way for me to explain that is to read what Hieromonk Damascene says about thoughts. And he says, "Most people identify themselves with their thoughts. When thoughts appear, they assume that these thoughts are them, that the sum total of their thoughts, memories, and corresponding feelings make up the sum total of their personalities. But thoughts, as Lao Tzu realized, are only fragments which flit through the mind. Of themselves, they have no reality. And getting wrapped up in their thoughts, people become the victims of compulsive thinking, habitual thought patterns which attach themselves to certain feelings. And finding their very identity in those patterns, they forget who they really are, that they are immortal spirits. And having lost sight of the one immortal human nature which is common to all, they become trapped in their individuality and in the desires of their false identity." So my piece is all about breaking free from that mould.
And where can our listeners go to learn more?
The best place to go is my website, which is listed below, I think. Or if not, it's www.anastasiapahos.com. And that's got audio samples there, as well as a whole lot of information about my training and my style and upcoming performances. And there's also a contact, a page dedicated to contacting. Oh, that came out so wrong. It didn't come out the way I wanted it to. There's a contact me page there where if you'd like to hear complete works, so like not just the sample, you can email me there. Like, I do have a LinkedIn page and a Facebook page, but I much prefer being, if it's career related, like music, composition related, I much prefer to be contacted through my website.
I've already listened to all your samples, and I encourage all my listeners to do the same. But before we end the show, you've prepared for us a sample of your work. What's the piece called, and why have you selected it?
Yes, well, the piece I've selected is just a 30-second sample of, from the middle of this piece. It's called Seedling, and that's for string quartet, so two violins, a viola, and a cello, or violoncello if you're going to be exact, precise. That's a piece very close to my heart, and if you'll permit me to say just two more quotes. I know this whole interview has been full of me reading out quotations, but you know, that's what my music is. Like, my music isn't just me. You know, it's my faith, and I think it would be wrong of me to not emphasize that point.
No. By all means, go ahead.
So, yes, I'll just read these last two quotations, which will hopefully prepare you to hear the, 27 seconds that I have of music for you. And these two quotations are by Archimandrite Emilianos of Simonopetra from his book The Way of the Spirit. The first quote: "Human life is nothing more than a movement to or away from God. It is a journey, a progression, which God alone knows. When the Spirit comes and dwells within us, we arrive at the end of time, the limit of now, which is a particle of time that, in a sense, is non-existent, because as soon as you utter it, as soon as you become aware of it, it vanishes." And his second quote: "Love finds its perfection not in this life, but in the next. And this means that perfect love should always be a perfect dissatisfaction. To love means to find no final satisfaction in the things of the world, and thus it expresses both our movement toward and the distance which still remains between us and God. The extent of our love, then, can be measured by the duration of our weeping. It can be measured to the extent by which we've been reduced to nothing in the infinity of God, and by our attempts to make God our own and to comprehend him. And this measure can be grasped not by an intellectual calculation, but only through the experience of suffering and love."
That was truly an enthralling and transcendent piece. Thank you, Anastasia, for giving us your time and insight into the world of sacred music.
Thank you. No, thank you, really. I'm so excited about Melbourne. And, to everyone listening, I hope it gifts you with something you didn't have before. Thank you.
And I too am looking forward to seeing you in Melbourne. That was Orthodox composer Anastasia Pahos. To check out concert details, go to anastasiapahos.com, that's P-A-H-O-S, or the Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists blog. If you want to learn more about Orthodoxy, Media and the Arts, visit the OFA blog at orthodoxfilmmakersandartists.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with Chris Vlachonasios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.